Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile. It's the podcast where we walk home from the movies. Today, we're going to see a movie called Past Lives. I'm quite excited to see this.
We've been desperate to see this movie. Feels like people have been talking about it for ages. We're finally getting to see it. And
yeah, it was the talk of Sundance Film Festival months ago, I think.
And just everyone's like texting us and messaging us saying, have you seen Past Lives? We haven't even seen a trailer for Past Lives.
I know what it's about. Do you know what it's about?
No.
Kathy? You don't?
I've completely avoided.
Do you want me to tell you or you want to go in blind?
I don't want to know. Everyone's recommending it, saying it's really nice and it's like a romantic movie. So yeah, I'm sold on that.
Yeah, sold. Mm-hmm. All right. So this whole bit's redundant then.
There may be.
Where we talk before the movie.
I have a hope.
You don't want me to talk.
I hope there's a bit of time travel in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's my hope.
Sure.
And it's the first time.
It's actually an adaptation of Quantum Leap.
It's a first time director, female director, writer. So I'm obviously always interested in that as well. And we really like the main actress because we just binged Russian Doll and she's in it.
Yes.
And she's actually kind of the star. The kind of surprise star of Russian Doll as well. She was brilliant in it.
She's a supporting character.
Yeah, but
she's a real standout. Yeah.
So yeah, excited. I can't wait. Thanks everyone who messaged us asking when we were going to see it. We're going to see it now and we shall be back to tell you what
it's
we think.
It's really wet. There's also a storm warning for when for when we're going to go walking back.
So this is a very sensible way to record a movie podcast.
You might be able to hear the windy rain already. So good luck to us. All right, here we go. Let's go watch Past Lives.
Bye.
See you soon.
There's a word in Korean. Inyeon. It means providence or fate.
Do you believe in that?
That's just something Koreans say to seduce someone.
What a good story this is. Childhood sweethearts who reconnect 20 years later and realize they were meant for each other. In the story, I would be the evil white American husband standing in the way of destiny.
Shut up. He was just this kid in my head for such a long time. I think I just missed him.
Did he miss you?
His home!
Hi, welcome back. We've seen Past Lives, and maybe you have too. But if you haven't, then don't worry, we won't spoil the movie just yet. We will spoil it when we get blown onto Spoiler Street by this gale force wind. It's very windy, so you might hear a bit of a background.
To keep it professional, we've got a big umbrella over the recorder.
Yeah, oh, naturally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got we've got 10 umbrellas taped together over our sound studio, which we travel with. Are you okay? That I'm just talking to our boom mic operator behind us. People don't know that, but there's actually 14 production crew in this work on the mm-hmm. Cinemile.
Yeah, it's a big crew. We thank them.
Sorry,
care
Tony,
for them
will
deeply.
You just get me a bag of M&Ms there whenever you get...
We just don't remember any of their names for those kind of celebs.
That's Tony.
Oh, right. Hi, Tony.
Yeah.
Anyway, Past Lives. What a movie.
That was a great movie.
Really loved it.
Now, can you tell people about what sort of the intricacies of the time travel?
Yeah, there's no time travel.
Yeah.
That I am disappointed by.
Give them the plot.
However, it's a very beautiful movie
about
a young woman who emigrates from... South Korea to Canada, and it follows her through a couple of stages of her life, and it also follows kind of in a parallel sense her childhood friend from also from South Korea who doesn't immigrate, and it's about, I guess, the intersection of their lives. And it's a bit of a kind of sliding doors kind of love vibe to it, albeit it's very unique. I don't want to be reductive comparing it to other movies, and it's just a very lovely, very minimal story, I would say. And I mean that as a massive compliment. Just a real character story, and it's really beautifully shot. We kept just saying, "Oh, my God, it looks amazing!"
But like you know, this
so
is proper cinema because the visuals are telling so much of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many beautiful frames in this movie, and whoever did the locations in here, you're just like, there'll be two characters walking. In one frame, but they're walking in different directions, emblematic of where the characters are in that moment. Then
it
you'll
does
have
not
like
feel like I would never have unless because I knew, but otherwise I would never have guessed that it was a first time filmmaker.
Oh, I mean, you'll
it's
see.
It's like it, with Aftersun last year, where
yeah,
you're like,
feels
how
like that.
Is this a first time
yeah,
filmmaker?
So confident.
Like,
but,
feature film.
But now, we just looked up this writer-director, Celine Song. I think it's Celine Song. I don't have my phone in front of me. But she's a playwright as well, right? So she, this is her debut feature, but she, you know, she's
very accomplished
in
writer.
That space. It's clearly a very accomplished writer. And I think this seems to be semi-autobiographical. She herself emigrated from South Korea. The character in this is also a playwright, so that, you know, there are some overlap. I can't speak to
the specifics
of the, but just back to the visuals. I mean, like, even just look at the few posters that are available for this movie. They express like distance and longing, mm-hmm. just in, and by two people who are next to each other, but there's a gap between them, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful, even the small things in this movie, like two characters riding the subway, and then it focuses on their hands right next to each other, not quite touching, but just like there's an electricity between those two hands, and that's what I thought was so powerful in this movie, was just the longing that was conveyed.
Mm-hmm. The distance, because, you know, the film's set between essentially two locations, which is New York City and like Seoul in South Korea, so that's just very interesting as well, and like the immigrant story and the cultural differences. And it's the kind of film that I feel like we should go to Spoiler Street on, because I don't want to spoil it. But I think before we get to Spoiler Street, it's just to say that, like, I think you should see it. We both loved it. There's a lot of love for this film. It's great that it's out, because there's so few films actually even out at the moment, and it's really gorgeous, and it's kind of masterful acting between the two main actors, because they act so subtly. It's like every movement is very intentional, every facial expression is very intentional, all the dialogue is very intentional. It's so wonderful. It's such a like paired back filmmaking, but that therefore is more powerful. So anyone who listens to our podcast, I recommend they watch it, because if you're interested in movies, you'd be interested to see how this movie's made, composed, and how you can just produce and make such a quality film on what is presumably not a huge budget.
Yeah, it's beautifully written. The whole like past lives theme relates to a part of Korean culture. I think that's woven in.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
In a nice way that could have felt very otherwise shoehorned, but yeah, feels very organic.
Very lovely, yeah, how they wrote that.
And it's all about, you know, the movie, this isn't a spoiler, but the movie's just about, you know, what could have been, the what if, you know, yeah, the road not taken, and how that can plague you in a way.
Everyone in their life can relate, whether it's romantically or otherwise.
Yeah, what if that had happened or instead of this? Or,
yeah, so it's a really lovely exploration of that. And I think just the kind of immigrant into New York story as well is a well-trodden path, but I've not seen it much from a South Korean perspective.
But I would say the movie doesn't do too much with that. I mean, I don't think it's about that. I think that's very...
But that's the background of it, though.
It sure, yeah. No, it's there. Yeah. But the movie is very much about these two people and their how they relate to each other.
And it's wonderful, right, to see I love romantic movies. Romantic movies never get in the cinemas anymore, and romantic movies don't get a lot of hype, and they're kind of been shoehorned into like a rom-com genre that like sits on Netflix and isn't particularly good. Sorry, Netflix, we did try to watch your recent
the interactive thing.
What was that?
I don't even know what that was called. It was terrible.
Choose Love.
Oh.
We tried and failed to finish that thing. Anyway,
absolute trash.
Like, it's so to see like the fact that this film is, and it's kind of increasingly getting more of a cinema release. Like, it just came to Cork because it's getting such good word of mouth and such praise.
Yeah.
So
deservedly so.
Bring back character movies in the cinema that are just wonderful and beautiful and aren't huge budgets. Now, will we go to Spoiler
Street? Also just like, you know, give voice to independent writers,
yeah,
and directors like this woman, who are expressing a facet of humanity that anybody in the world can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through her own personal lens and the lens of, you know, a South Korean and a South Korean emigrant.
Mm-hmm.
But like, anybody who watches this has experienced something like this at one point in their life or
Absolutely.
Others. So it's and it's conveyed beautifully through the dialogue, the acting, and like we said, just the, you know, the shots here where you're just like, it's just walking down a street, you know, it just pans down a street slowly and carefully, and it's just so confident and takes its time. I mean,
just they're really thinking about how the film looks and how the shots are composed, and that is like such a basic praise of the film. But you know what? A lot of films don't do that. Now we're going to spoiler shoot because it's raining.
Yeah, spoilers now for Past Lives. So please don't listen. Go watch the movie, please.
Don't listen if you haven't seen the movie.
All right, so spoilers, right. Okay, so I think probably the biggest thing to talk about is, the whole bit where she, at the end where she's married.
So good.
And he's visiting, which is such an interesting situation. And I love that, you know, you kind of whispered to me at one point, hilariously, like, I hate her husband.
And I'm like, perfectly nice
and
guy.
I'm like, Kathy, what? But this is before he'd even said a word. You just hated his presence because he was coming between these two, right?
The film is playing with our expectations of rom-com.
Yeah, because then he said it. He said, if this was a story, I'm the villain.
I love that he's the writer who comes up. Because, okay, it's not a rom-com, it's just a rom. But like, our expectation is that when our protagonist couple that we want to be together, when one of them is with someone else, they have to be evil.
Oh yeah, he's the blocker.
Yeah,
she must be liberated from this awful relationship.
He even said, "I'm the white man that you're married to, and you have your long lost love from Korea visiting." Yeah. But I just thought that I loved his writer's reflections on the situation. He summed up exactly what I was feeling. It paused, forced me to think about why I was thinking it. It was so meta, but done in such a meaningful way, because he's a writer, he would be talking like that about stories, and it felt really authentic. I was absolutely desperate for them to hook up or at least kiss, because movies have taught me to want that, and I love romance.
But it would have been unsatisfying
for us,
it would have been disastrous for them. I really don't think anything would have been gained.
I also think the film,
it would have made their longing probably worse.
I knew that
and,
wasn't going to happen.
And blown up her life.
Because you only get a film of this high quality and such, it's only resonates with people because the main characters never kiss.
So not exactly.
Forever a sense of what if about it.
But that's way more powerful, right? But I thought what I really admire it for is, they never give in to that.
But they were very mature.
The whole end of it was so mature. That scene is so amazing with the three of them in the bar. And
it's
sort of
teed up at the beginning, so we're desperate for that scene to come back again.
And I don't normally like that tactic when it's employed by movies of starting at the end, but it was a very clever way to frame it with like
curiosity.
These outsiders looking at them and trying to wonder.
It was brilliant.
And which was us as well. But the way that conversation that the two of them have, which is just her and him with the husband just there,
it's
so mature. And so
and he said, I didn't think it would hurt this much to like your husband.
Oh, that's a devastating line.
But her husband, though, I think the film played with us a little bit, though, because her husband was just like a little bit dull and kind of a sap in how they showed him to us.
But he knew that, as well.
I know.
Like, I really empathized
He's
with
like,
him.
You're only with me because we both happened to meet at a time in your life
that
when
scene,
you needed me.
That scene in the bed, he expressed his like self-consciousness. You know, he's probing, he's clearly jealous a little bit and wary, but I think he also handles all of this maturely.
So mature. I love when he goes,
but it's an awkward situation.
She goes, well, he's very masculine in a Korean kind of way, and his face just falls.
And when he asks her straight up, you know, are you attracted to him? And that's such a hard question to
present. And she
kind of,
instead of just saying no, which is what she should have said, she's like,
No would have been a lie, clearly. She would have been lying.
Yeah, but she could have, she just took too long and then said, I don't think so.
But she rationalized it quite well, which was, you know, that. How did she rationalize
it? It was like sickness. She's like, I miss Seoul, I miss Korea.
Yeah, and it's all wrapped up in this, I don't think it necessarily is that easy as, like, she's just attracted to him. And she
of course
probably,
not, it is complex. But I enjoyed her honesty, and I also enjoyed because his back was to her and we saw his face fall but again, everything's very minimal. Ever so slightly did we see his face fall.
Yeah.
He never got angry. He sat there at the bar while they had these
very
intense
patiently.
Conversations that he could barely understand. But it showed, like, I really enjoyed as well that kind of look into their relationship, because he's like trying to learn Korean. She won't even speak it back with him or engage with him on it. Then she seems surprised that he's actually kind of good at Korean when he's speaking it to the main guy, because she's like never speaks Korean to him, And then you kind of feel like it's kind of quite a one-sided relationship, but then she says to him, her husband, the writer, but you're forgetting the part where I love you.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah. And what's so clever about it is we never quite really see what's going on with him, like, because of the chunks of time where we meet them when they're like 12, 24 and 36, which I love as a construct, and the kind of hard stop between the time periods. We only ever get a sense of them more as they interact with other people than like their inner monologue or like what they're feeling internally. So I kind of enjoy that as well, until she said to the husband, like, I love you. We didn't know anything about how she felt about her husband, and she could have just been with him because of what he said. We saved rent, we wanted a green card, yada yada yada. So I thought that was all really cool as well. But I love going back to the bit where they're in their like 20s and they're Skyping all the time. What I thought was so cool is that they're both in these huge cities, but they're both like
lonely.
Really lonely.
Yeah.
And they could, and cities can be like that. They can be really faceless. And I think she made the right decision to like pull back from that, because she's like, we're not going to see each other for
again,
at least a
very
year. Like,
mature.
What are we doing? Yeah. Like, this is a really stupid thing to be doing.
She was protecting both of them in a way, and it was the smart thing, but like,
oh,
but
so
the hurt on his face.
It was such heat.
When she
such
says
a
that,
good
when
actor.
He and when he says, you know, it took me 12 years to find you. And then she says, you know, I'm only going to be gone for a little while. And then another 12 years passed.
And
like,
did we know him from again? He's such a good actor. He's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I looked him up. He was in...
Decision to Leave.
Decision to Leave. He had a role in that, which we watched
earlier
this year.
I didn't remember him in, but I knew I'd seen him in something. He's phenomenal. And
he's adorable in this movie,
isn't
he? She
basically looks the same, age 24, 36. But the way they changed his hair and stuff... He truly looked like he went from age 24 to 36.
Yeah, he looks
36.
So much older.
They did some makeover on him. I think it's because he was in a hoodie and at the fringe and everything. But yeah, he was so good as like the kind of love-struck like puppy dog. And then when he goes to New York and the friends are like, oh, you're obviously going to see that woman. And he's like, what woman?
Yeah, I know, right?
But then she says to her husband, you were right. He did come just
to see me. I love how they express that.
Yeah, I love that as well.
But of course he did. And that shot then when he returns to his hotel room and we just see him entering via the reflection.
Those were the shots of like the reflection in the window.
It was so beautiful.
But
that's all he, like it's, and then this, the hotel room and he sits in the chair with the light. Like they somehow staged all these areas to make them look desperately lonely.
Yeah, they're like, this man is so alone.
He's so solitary.
But it's really sad as well, because it seems like he actually loves his girlfriend and wants to marry her, but because of the culture, he's not considered like successful enough.
Yeah,
so
the movie doesn't dwell on that, but they just glimpses at it. But that was interesting. I really love that shot.
I don't think he's been pining after Nora the whole time. I think it's that him and his girlfriend broke up and he's, well, what the what if thing.
And now he's, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's in a very self-reflective moment.
Exactly.
And he's seeking that connection again.
He is really attracted to her and like wants to hook up with her as well.
Yeah.
But it's more than that. And I feel like vice versa, if Nora and her husband split up at a different time, she'd probably go and pursue it, because like, kind of, why not?
But I love how
that's the sliding doors thing.
But I love that, like, he, you know, he's so mature in that point that he like says to her, you know, at the bar, you know, it's like, I'm so glad I came here. Like, it's a they close that door. And the way it ends with her finally, you know,
finally
crying again.
Oh, I love that.
Something that she had, you know, buried when
she... Because the husband
was
like, you never cry. And she was like, I always cried as a kid. But she almost said when she, because of that experience of being a kid in a new country, and like, she basically
she used
said
to cry
no one cared.
All the time. Well, that's the one that got me. There's so many beautiful lines in it. When she's Skyping him. And by the way, side note, all so fun like to see all the connection problems of 2012 and like Skyping and hear all those noises again. But when she's...
We're so lucky that when the pandemic hit, Zoom was available.
But when she's Skyping him, you know, what was it? She says something like, you were always there for me when I was crying. And then I realized that nobody cared or something. That's why I stopped crying. And it was just like...
It was kind of like he indulged her, but like she needed that as well. And at the very end, when he was getting in the Uber, I was like, oh, just a peck on the lips. This film denies me what I needed. But then she walked back over to the husband, who then actually had been sitting on the stoop and like watching.
But it wouldn't have been... I don't know. It's just like they were... so adult about it all.
I felt like her husband would have been
so
like...
so bittersweet.
I felt like her husband would have been like... I genuinely thought the husband was going to say, you need a night together, one night only.
No!
Get there and just have no regrets.
That's not this film.
I felt like that's where the husband was going, though, because he was so facilitative of the whole thing.
Yeah, but come on, nobody... Who's going to offer that up?
Well, have you not seen Oh my god, what's that movie? The one with Robert Redford,
I was just thinking of that. Yeah, yeah. But that's different.
Like, instead of $1 million, you just get your wife to have like
But actually,
one
no,
you,
and
needed.
You're right. And actually, the second half of that movie actually worked out great for Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore. From memory, they just were so happy with their $1 million and their relationship.
It was just
was
like when they were
totally
the,
cool.
When they're all in the bar and he was sitting on his own, I truly felt like he might have leaned over and been like, "Lads, I'm out of here." Like he was so excluded. Yeah. But then I love when the your mom was like, "I'm sorry, we're talking without you," because the language barrier thing, of course, is very interesting as well. I love when we heard I can't remember his name now, the male Korean lead, when he was just like spoke English as well, and we'd never heard him speak English before, and he spoke it like really
so
as a foreign, like he really was struggling to speak it, and their kind of barriers. I love that scene when the two men meet though, and they're just like, hello.
He's apparently German Korean. I just googled him.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's a fantastic film. I understand why everyone's recommending it. I adored it. I absolutely adored the film.
Yeah. It was just lovely.
Yeah.
And just so...
I just wish all films were
but
this...
But so
like
heartbreaking,
this.
With in such, but in such a restrained way,
yeah,
wasn't
so
it?
Yeah, so restrained. That's exactly it. It's simple, restrained, like effective filmmaking.
Like,
I'm thrilled for them. It's going to be... I hope it's going to sweep up at the awards season, because it's just like, this is what we need. This is the kind of cinema we need, and I'm thrilled about it.
Exactly. Like what an accomplishment to, like, as a writer, to write a film where most of... the emotion and the tragedy is being expressed in what's not being said.
Yeah.
Like there's no
like
nothing is
on someone's
the,
face.
Yeah, it's all like until the end where they very like kind of maturely acknowledge each other's feelings finally and the whole situation, and then kind of heartbreakingly speculate as to their past lives and what their future life might be, which is also so romantic.
Yeah.
Until that point, it's very much, there's nothing is, it's all unsaid, everything.
And
the
one
longing.
More thing, she made, like we all have a video call fatigue, right? Absolute phenomenon in the year 2023. We all hate video calls. She made, I was into watching those Skype calls. That is no mean feat. Like if I often see stuff like that on TV now, I'm like, do you know what? I spent 8 hours of my day on video calls. I don't need to get on another one.
But there was a great little montage of all the moments where the connection fails.
I know, yeah.
Right?
And
all the frozen screens.
The time zone's different.
All the, can you hear me?
When we used to live in Australia, we used to have to use Skype because it was around then, and it was like 2012, and it was the opposite end of the world, and it was a disaster. And we kind of gave up Skyping, and we used to just phone people because it was just such a crap service.
Yeah.
So anyway, I really enjoyed all that stuff. But thank you for listening. Let us know what you thought about Past Lives. You better not listen past Spoiler Street if you haven't seen it.
Love to chat to you guys about this.
And come over to Instagram... or Twitter, make more Instagram really, chat to us about it.
Twitter doesn't exist anymore, Kathy.
thecinemile@gmail.com.
Soon you've got to pay for it.
Yeah. But more importantly, come over to our Patreon where we chat all the time and we watch, we talk about TV shows a lot. So we actually had just been talking about Russian Doll before we saw this movie. Talk about TV shows all the time. We also every month watch a retro film. And what did we watch last month?
Last month we watched... a film that I'm going to remember.
Persepolis.
Brilliant. Oh god, another incredible film by a first time filmmaker. Or I think
she was an adaptation.
Yeah
it was brilliant. We watched Persepolis, so brilliant. And come over to patreon.com/thecinemile. You can also actually sign up for 7 days free trial and listen to as many episodes as you want and then cancel before you have to pay any
money. You can steal it all.
Yeah, it's not stealing,
it's all yours.
It's there for free for seven days. So come over and do it. We fully support this.
patreon.com/thecinemile. One last thing, the soundtrack to this movie was
incredible.
Also quite lovely. And I've been
very subtle.
I actually
very
was
beautiful.
Listening to it before I went in.
Well, I will listen to it now after I've seen
it's good music to work to.
Okay, good tip.
Yeah.
Hot tip.
But now I won't be able to work to it because
you'd be crying.
Because I'll be recalling the heartbreak of this movie.
The main thing is, it's like she gets to live and, you know, continue her life in New York with her, you know, with her husband, a very loving relationship. They both have good careers. He's kind of going back to like his parents' flat and like his girlfriend's not allowed to marry him.
Yes.
And he's just been devastated.
Well, yes, I think this is a low point for him, but I think he's going to be fine. Right.
I mean, he's a very attractive man.
He's closing the door on this. You know, despite the fact he said he's got a very ordinary salary and a very ordinary life. I mean, he's a lovely person. and you just know it's all going to work out for him. I think even more so now that he's able to let Nora go, you know?
When he walks into the apartment and the husband just sees quite how good looking he is, the husband's like, fuck. Yeah. When she said masculine, she really meant it. Anyway, bye.
All right, bye.
If two strangers walk by each other in the street and their clothes accidentally brush, that means there have been 8,000 layers of Inyan between them. Want you to stay.